If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
This episode is sponsored by Wayfair. My home is a canvas for expressing myself and what matters to my family, whether it's through art or furniture. Wayfair makes it easy to bring that vision to life with everything home, from sofas and beds to dining sets and decor. We just hung the Sabine metal curved oval mirror in our dining room, and it's like the room took a deep breath and suddenly feels like itself. Every style is welcome in the Wayfairhood. Visit Wayfair.com or get the Wayfair mobile app. That's Wayfair.com. Wayfair, every style, every home. Hey there, you're listening to the Lazy Genius Podcast. I am Kendra Adachi, and I'm here to help you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. Today is episode 283, and it is a conversation with my beloved Shannon Martin. Shannon is the author of some of my favorite books ever, including Falling Free, The Ministry of Ordinary Places, and the recent book Start With Hello, and other simple ways to live as neighbors. Shannon and I talk about the challenges of being a neighbor, especially after so long of not really being in connection with anyone, why it matters, and we share some pretty personal stories about our own insecurities in being a person who shows up, even in the tiniest ways of saying hello. Emily P. Freeman described Shannon as a sidewalk poet, and she is very much that. That is such a good description. Shannon is a fierce, passionate person who cares so deeply about helping us be neighbors in ways that actually matter. And I cannot wait for you to listen. So here is my conversation with Shannon Martin. We should talk more just as human beings and not when we're doing a podcast interview.
I agree.
It makes me kind of sad.
I know. We decided we'll do it.
One of the things that you are so good at sharing with us is just really great ways to start small and being a person and being a friend and being a neighbor. And that's, we're just going to start small with that. It's like, we're realizing now we don't talk enough. And now we're like, you know what? I'm going to put something before we get off. I want to put something on the calendar where we're just like, let's have a Zoom morning coffee or something like that. Let's FaceTime and just like chat.
We'll decide once, Kendra.
We will.
Let's so do good. It.
How many principles do you think we can name in this conversation? Okay. So I already kind of, introed, your new book, which I'm so excited about. I endorsed this book, everybody. And I think all my endorsement says is like, this is the book we've been waiting for. I was so excited about it. I was like, I don't even know what else to say. This is just the book that we've been waiting for.
So, well, I mean, that means the world to me for you to feel that way and to say that and to have endorsed the book. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell everybody why this book and why now?
Yeah. So this is my third book coming out, Start With Hello. And it follows the thread that began with my first book and my second book. So Falling Free, Ministry of Ordinary Places. There's a thread through all of them of me living in this neighborhood, which my family moved to maybe 11 years ago. So it sounds like such a long time and it feels like a minute. But moving to this neighborhood launched us into the space, me particularly, just within myself and as our family, but you know, we're individuals too. And so it launched me into the space of wanting to know and really grasp, what does it mean to live as a neighbor? Why does it matter? You know, what's the deal here? And just learning how to do it and failing many times at doing it. And mostly learning from my actual neighbors, learning how to do it from the people around me who have taught me so generously. So after my first two books, what I found was people were saying to me things like, we really loved your book. It's great, but how do we do it? And I would be here like, I just wrote two whole books about how to do it. Like,
what do you want from me, you guys?
But I knew that there was still more to say. And what there was to say was a very stripped down, basic, simplified version of how do we do this thing? And it's really, you know, a lot of authors will say this, but this is the book that I desperately wanted and needed when I moved into this place 11 years ago, and even before then, you know, in a way that I didn't quite understand that I needed it. But I think we are just, we're in a place right now, we're coming out of, you know, a time of isolation. We are existing in a place of deep division and kind of side-eyeing each other and feeling like we're being side-eyed. And, you know, how does this work? What is this project that we're all kind of a part of? And it, you know, it almost feels like an experiment. Like, can we make this work together? We're not sure we can. And so that's the why now. I mean, this is the field guide. I don't like to think of it as a how-to book because I still really rely on story. That's my main method of writing and really understanding the world. And so it's very story-driven, but it's also really kind of step-by-step. This is how to do the thing. And we need it right now because, you know, we keep kind of inching towards what feels like the edge of a cliff as a culture, as a society. It feels so scary. And I think if we really started to look each other in the eye, it would just feel much less scary.
So how can, so here's what I hear when you say those words. I'm like, yes, Shannon, you're right. And then I'm like, that feels enormous. Mm-hmm. It feels enormous, which is why you wrote the book though, because the book is not full of enormous solutions.
No.
The book is full of the tiniest, wonderful solutions. Yep. So, cause we are a start small community around here. And so I would just love for you to share practically like one or two things from the book of ways that we can't, I mean, the title is Start With Hello. Like that's maybe the smallest way that you could begin in saying like being in community with someone is just looking them in the eye and saying hello.
Yeah.
But I would love to hear a couple of ways that we can make that smaller.
Yeah. I mean, that's really how we landed on the title. And it feels so obvious in hindsight, but it really was challenging to land there.
But titles are the worst, man. It's the worst. So hard.
But in hindsight, I mean, it really, it's just the essence of the book. It is the tiniest little simple baby step. And we don't have to find ourselves like overnight, we are Fred Rogers. I mean, that's not going to happen. It hasn't happened to me in 11 years. You know, it's an ongoing decision. It's a kind of a posture where I'm choosing to say every day with my life in different ways, and very quiet, small ways. I understand that living here in this place near these people matters for some reason. It matters. And I want to spend my life, whether I stay here forever, whether I move on, you know, I want to spend my life really understanding that being connected to the people close to me is significant, even if I can't always say why, but just having that belief within me that it matters. And like you said, I mean, just saying hi to people, number one, my most simple and basic step, and I start the book with this, and I talk about this a lot on Instagram and all the places, paying attention to this physical world, paying attention to the sky, paying attention to the ground, to the trees, to the homes, to our neighborhoods, whatever they might look like, whether they're brand new to us, whether we've been in these places forever, but really deciding that we're going to honor this place that we are with our attentiveness leads us to a place where we begin to notice what changes and what stays the same around us. And it ultimately leads us to each other so that we can begin to kind of recognize each other. And then we can begin to say hello. And, you know, every relationship that we have right now, whether it's, you know, a really meaningful relationship or just kind of a casual acquaintanceship, they all did start with hello.
Yeah.
They started with that simple act of acknowledgement and attentiveness and understanding that there's some type of secret power in that.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me, I hadn't thought about this in a long time, but that reminds me of, there was a season where I was taking a walk around my neighborhood the same time of day. It was during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So I don't remember because everything is different now than it was then, but I would take kind of the same route and it was a longer route, through the neighborhood. And I would run into this, not literally, but I would pass this guy who was probably, 17 or 18, and walking his dog. And every time I passed him, you know, I would smile, like I'm friendly and I look and I say hello and it's like, hello, but we would pass each other. It was like several days in a row that we would pass each other around the same part of the street. And one time I said, I don't even remember what I said, but I just sort of acknowledged like, you're the guy always walking his dog. I'm the lady always walking. We always meet right here. And I just said, I'm Kendra. What's your name? And I don't even remember what his name was. Yeah. And honestly, I never saw him after that.
Yeah.
Which I could be he, as I say that out loud, it could be that I scared him away or it just could be that I stopped walking that route. But like the, I understand the vulnerability of even saying hello to somebody, but that attentiveness, I just love that you just said honor the place you are with your attentiveness. If I hadn't really been paying attention and just noticing this kid, I wouldn't have noticed him again and again and again. And I knew that he probably, well, maybe he didn't, but maybe he recognized me as well, that it was like, oh, this is this lady I keep seeing. And how that there is a vulnerability in that, but everything starts there. Every single relationship starts there. You have lived where you live for 11 years. I've lived where I live for almost 11 years. Holy moly. Yeah. For almost 11 years. Yeah. And I just want to say out loud to everyone listening, not from like a, what's the word I'm looking for? Not from like a, like see, woe is me or any of that, but just from a reality check. I know the names of all my neighbors. Mm-hmm. I do. I know the names of all my neighbors. Have any of them ever had a meal in my house? No. Mm-hmm. Now the ones who live next door to us, it's a rental. And so families come through there pretty regularly, but, and we did have a couple of those families that were there. We did have them over for dinner once. And so it's kind of like, so it's not like, I feel like I'm trying to like, pump myself up. You're like, I've had some people over for dinner before, but I'm just saying like I have relationship. I think we have in our, here's what it is. I think we have in our heads that there is this specific picture of if we're not doing these 10 things or whatever with our neighbors, we're not actually being a neighbor.
Yeah.
And so because of that, we don't start at all.
Right.
Because we can't get to a place of saying like, yes, I have dinner with all of my neighbors, or I know the names of all of their children, or I know like most of the people who live around me, actually everybody who lives in direct connection with me are retirees, empty nesters, or single women. There are no little kids like right around me, none of them. And so there's not a, it doesn't feel like there's a natural pathway in like, let's have dinner because there's not like, we don't have the same life stage. And so I feel like I'm sort of rambling here, but just to say, you said you're still learning this and you are an active, attentive neighbor. Like you're paying attention to this in a way that probably most people aren't. And you've been in the same place for 11 years and you're still learning. Mm-hmm. I really care about my neighbors and I say hello and I'm not afraid to do that. And it doesn't look like the way I think people think it looks.
Yeah.
Like it takes its own path. It takes its time. And so it's like, I just don't want anybody to think that if you cannot make your relationships with your actual neighbors in proximity to you look a very, very specific way, then you shouldn't try at all. That is just, that's why we stay stuck.
Right. It's very slow work and it's allowed to be slow and we are allowed to accept that it's slow. I have so many things I want to say to that. First of all, I think it's a really big deal that you know the names of your neighbors. First of all, like that's one of the simple steps I talk about in Start With Hello. That is a simple thing that many of us, it's not even that we neglect to do it. We have all different kinds of reasons that we don't necessarily know the names of our closest neighbors. There are some neighbors on my block whose names I don't know. But I think it is a big deal to be awake and available in the world so that when we have opportunities to make those connections, we don't miss them. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't have to necessarily be about like going door to door, although I'm not above that either. That has its place. But you know, that we understand that there's a certain kind of safety and security in knowing and being known by the people around us. That's the first thing I want to say. Like, you know, sometimes we get this idea into our minds, or maybe I'm just speaking for myself, that like people are scary. You know, that we've got to kind of keep our distance and keep those walls up. I'm not talking about being best friends forever with all of the next door neighbors or going on vacations together, although I think that would be really cool at some point. What I'm talking about is just this simple, basic level of care that we can know that the people closest to us have our backs and that they know that we have their backs. You know, whatever that looks like, whatever that might mean for our future. I also want to say that I use the word neighbor really loosely. So I do think it's significant to know that the people in the homes or the apartments or whatever around us. But I also think, you know, the coffee shop that we visit regularly, the grocery store, the library, you know, all these places where our lives intersect with the lives of people around us. If our lives are intersecting, we are neighbors, and that can mean something to us. But the last point I want to make that feels somehow related here is that I am a deep and true introvert, and I fight myself all the time. I have to push myself past my place of like base level comfort, which is inside with the door closed, reading a book, nobody talking to me, nobody looking at me. And so that's where I say like 11 years in, I'm still a work in progress because I've learned over time in a way that is really pretty across the board that when I have pushed myself past that base level of comfort, I have been awkward many times. Many times have I been awkward and felt awkward, but I have never walked away from those encounters feeling like, well, that was a waste of time. You know, like your story of saying hi to the guy. I believe with my whole heart and soul, Kendra, that mattered, that it was meaningful, even though you never saw him again. It really matters right now for people to just to look upon us with kindness, to notice us. There's a woman who walks past my window. She walks to and from town multiple times a day. I have met her before. She has never been inside my home. I've not had her for dinner or whatever, but there's just something meaningful to me. I just saw her, I don't know, 45 minutes ago walking past. And it's like, just that acknowledgement of, okay, it's grounding. Like, this is where I am. Yeah. These are the people around me. I'm not close friends with her, but if something happened to her, I would notice.
Yeah.
And there's something to that. There's something powerful to that.
We'll be right back. This episode is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Recently, I was driving the middle school carpool, and the two eighth graders were talking about how they had to take a foreign language in high school next year. One of them said, "Man, why do we have to take a class? Can't we just use Rosetta Stone? That thing works great." And while I tend to stay quiet during carpool, I did pipe up from the front. It really is, right? Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program. It is available on desktop or can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways with its intuitive process. You can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the Lazy Genius podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/genius. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/genius today. This episode is sponsored by Ritual. I don't like wasting time or money on things that don't work. I have a healthy dose of skepticism, and I like knowing I've made a good choice. That's why I partner with companies like Ritual that consistently delight me. Ritual knows every good skeptic deserves a multivitamin that exceeds your expectations. Ritual is a female-founded B Corp, meaning they are holding themselves accountable to not just their company's financial health, but also the health of people and our planet. I take my Ritual Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamins every morning as I'm making my coffee, and I love how Ritual has made it easy for me to maintain this routine for 3 years and running. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/lazygenius. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/lazygenius for 25% off. This episode is sponsored by Prose. We all know your hair and skin can sway your mood and impact your day, good or bad. But since I switched to Custom Hair Care by Pros, I've had more good hair days than ever before. Pros is made for people, not hair and skin types. Every bottle of Pros Custom Hair and Skin Care is made to order and personalized with a unique blend of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients. It literally could not exist without you. Their in-depth consultation analyzes over 80 factors for a complete view of you, what you eat, where you live, and what you want from your hair and skin. My Made for Kendra products take into account the average humidity and UV index in Greensboro. Wild. And because it's made for me, I've seen consistently softer, shinier, stronger hair every day. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/lazygenius. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/lazygenius. That's PROSE.com/lazygenius. This episode is sponsored by Green Chef. Have you heard of Green Chef? I love a good meal kit, and this one puts whole foods front and center. Green Chef delivers quality whole foods with limited processed ingredients, including low added sugar and sodium smart options, so you can match whatever dietary needs you have. Each week, choose from over 80 flavor-packed meals and easily customize them to suit your lifestyle preferences. I planned for my next Green Chef delivery to come next week, because next week is like peak month of May bonkers, and I already know I will not have the energy for lunches. Yep, I'm using this meal kit box for lunches for me and my husband, and I cannot wait. Want to try Green Chef? Go to greenchef.com/lazygenius50 and use code lazygenius50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's greenchef.com/lazygenius50 and use code lazygenius50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. The number one meal kit for eating well.
There are three men who, not to get, two men walk together, and then there's one man who walks alone every morning. Mm-hmm. And I notice when they're not walking.
Yeah.
Or like if the two men who walk together, if it's just one of them, I'm like, is the other one okay? Is the other one on vacation? Like, what's going on? You know, like, you're right the smallness, but the significance of just being attentive to where you are is so important. I think, you know, you mentioned you have like a loose definition of the word neighbor. And I just want to acknowledge, because you said the word apartment as well. I just want to acknowledge too, that a lot of times when we get information, this is why I love your book so much too. A lot of times when we get sort of practical or even sort of like philosophical information about being a neighbor, very often we're hearing it from people who live in the suburbs, who live on streets, who live in single family homes with porches and all of that. And that there is a, I think an embedded challenge in say living in an apartment, living where there's not maybe as much of a communal place, like, or that your rhythms are just different, living in a big city, you know, like all of those different things. And so if you are someone who is not in a sort of traditional like suburban neighborhood or something with streets and porches, this book is still written for you. It has help and tools and stories that are relevant to all kinds of people and all kinds of neighbors. So I just want to make sure that anybody who's like, well, it's another book on neighboring and I don't have a yard to build a fire pit, so I guess I'm out, you know, like, that's not real. That's not what this book is. So I just want to make sure that is clear to you.
Well, and a lot of my friends, Kendra, you kind of know this, but you know, the neighborhood we moved into is a really diverse place in every sense of the word. And in one sense is that it's like a lower income neighborhood. And so we have economic diversity around us. You know, any type of diversity you can think of is present here in this place. And that does mean, like you said, this is a neighborhood that people come and go. There are a ton of rental properties. So that's part of the fabric of my place. The other point is that my husband, Corey, works as the chaplain of the county jail. This is a neighborhood where a lot of his friends coming out of incarceration might land. And that's just brings a different element to it. And I think of my work at the window. I work as a cook 2 days a week at sort of our soup kitchen, our community soup kitchen. And a lot of my acquaintances and friends there are homeless. And so my point being, this is not about how to be a neighbor in the suburbs, although it works for the suburbs,
right?
You know, because I know a lot of us, that is where we live. But it's more about it's less about kind of the place or the home or whatever, looking a certain way. And I really kind of belabored that point in the book that it's really, we come to think that being a neighbor is about, you know, having our homes look a certain way, being a good cook, being comfortable, entertaining. And really it's, if we're to the point of trying to entertain, we've kind of missed it.
Yeah.
You know, if we can really allow ourselves the comfort and the space to drop all of that, to scale way back, and to just think of these basic moments that can often build up to somebody sitting at our dining room table with us or on our back patio or whatever that may be. I mean, that's often part of it. And that's been a part of it for me and for my family, but it starts way earlier than that. And it starts at a much more simple, basic level where really the goal is, here I am. Like, this is who I am in my daily. Just sorry, not sorry. this is what I'm like. This is what I look like. This is the state of my home. It's chaos right now, even in this moment. I mean, there's stuff everywhere, but to be able to say, you know, if somebody knocks on my door, that I could welcome them in without feeling like, oh no, what I have isn't good enough, or I'm not prepared, or I'm a mess, or I'm still in my pajamas, or, you know, all the things that have happened to me so many times. But understanding that we're really all looking for the same things, no matter who we are, where we live, no matter if we are just coming out of incarceration or we are fighting through addiction or, you know, any number of situations, we want to be known. We want to be generous. We want to be trusted. We want to be heard and seen. And so coming to that place of starting to build those simple steps into like this long haul project of getting better at these little things and letting it build slowly over time. And knowing that when we do those things, we do ultimately feel less alone. We feel less afraid. We feel less cynical. We feel more connected. We understand on a little bit of a different level, what does it really look like to belong? Mm-hmm. That's the goal.
This is a community that really values empathy, and which I am so grateful for and appreciate. Yeah. And one of the things that I feel like is important to share with having you here is that you have been a kind of singular voice for me and a singular companion for me in moments where I have felt incredibly awkward or incredibly uncomfortable in my moving into spaces and in interactions with people who look different than me, who live different than me. And you guys, whenever there have been several times where I have had, like, I took my kids to the Black barber shop to get their hair cut mm-hmm. one time. And I felt really uncomfortable because I was the only white lady there. My kids aren't even white. You know, my kids are like, my kids are mixed race, and I was the only white person there. And it was very obvious. And there have been other times like that where I have been the only white person in a room. Mm-hmm. And you were one of the first people who said to me in the kindest, most loving way, because I was like, it just felt really hard. It felt important, but it felt really hard. And you said, I don't even know if you remember saying this to me, but you said back in the day, I think it was when one of my sons was invited to a birthday party. And we went to this person's home, and there were multiple cultures that were represented there. And I was the only white person there. And I was like, oh, I feel really uncomfortable. And you said, what a gift though, that you get to experience the discomfort that a lot of those people feel in the places that you are comfortable.
Yeah.
And I've never forgotten that. I've never forgotten that every moment where I feel awkward is a way for me to work the muscle of empathy in recognizing, at least in the tiniest bit, of what the experience of someone who is more marginalized in America is like. Yeah. And that alone is enough value if there is no continuation of that relationship.
That's,
you know,
it.
Like that, right. That is so valuable. And so you mentioned, you know, you mentioned like being awkward before, and I just kind of want to bring that up, that like every moment of us being awkward, no matter the reason, in a relationship is showing us that we can be.
Yes.
It's showing us that we can be, yes, and that we're more okay with it the next time it happens. And then it helps us identify and see and be attentive, to use that word that you used before, to be attentive in the places that we are with the people that we see, that like, oh, I bet they feel really uncomfortable right now.
Yeah. Yeah. We can survive awkwardness. We can. Yes, we can. And we learn, I mean, we learn over and over again. And I, you know, if one of the things, I think there are plenty of barriers holding us back, holding us away from each other. And I think the fear of awkwardness is one of them for me. Yeah, it definitely absolutely is. And so I, you know, I'm here to say, if you're afraid that it might be awkward, it will be.
It will be.
It will be. Like, let me just like ease your mind right now that there's nothing you can do about that other than lean into it. And I also recommend putting yourself on the other side of that. So like, imagine somebody coming to you and being a little awkward. I don't ever walk away from that feeling like, oh, wow, what is wrong with them? I walk away feeling like, oh, thank God. Like they don't have it all together. They're just a human doing their best. So I get to just be a human doing my best, and we can be awkward together, and there can be a lot of grace for this. I totally remember the barbershop story. I remember having these conversations with you, and I've always appreciated your willingness to just do the thing, to push through the awkwardness that is inevitable. An example that comes to my mind in a similar way is that, you know, some of my neighbors speak Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. I took 3 years of high school Spanish and I retained very little, but I have learned, and it feels very awkward every time. I mean, most of my neighbors over time have really, their English has gotten much, much better. My Spanish has not improved, but though communicating together has become easier over time, it's important for me to try to speak in Spanish to them, because it reminds me, like, they get a huge kick out of it. They think it's funny. And so that can be a connecting thing, but it gives me that feeling of like, you know, this is what others feel like. This discomfort of trying to speak a language that is not our first language is really a humbling experience. Yeah. So anytime we have that opportunity to just kind of to reset our posture to a place of humility, to be the one who needs something or the one who asks for help first, that's one of my favorite ideas. One of my favorite simple steps in working towards living as neighbors is to be the one to ask for help and show up needy. I mean, all of these things run counter to so much of what we've been taught and told, but it's in those small acts that, like you said, even if that's all that encounter ever is, it's changing us. It's shaping us. And I really believe that even, you know, the other people or the other person involved, like, it leaves a mark. And those are the interactions that ultimately bring us together, that take us away from this idea of me and bring us back to the center of us together.
That reminds me of a story. There was a kid that we knew years ago, and he died tragically when he was 20, I think. And at his funeral, one of his friends was giving a eulogy and said something like, he always, and this was in, you know, he grew up in a Christian family. He was in a church. And that was why it was my favorite thing when this friend said, he always would ask people on the street for a cigarette. Mm. Like when he would rather rather than going up and just like, without looking, putting a few coins in a cup or yeah, whatever it was, he would go up to that person and bum a cigarette off of
yes
them. Because what it did is it made them feel like they had something to offer.
Yes.
And it was, I just remember being like absolutely blown away
yeah
by that example. And
that's beautiful.
So I love that. I love that very simple step of like, you can be the first one, just be the first one to ask, because there is something for sure. Cause like there are very many people who are listening to this who are for sure white. And then I would say even a large subsect of those people are profess faith in Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. That they would say that they are Christians, and that there is something that we have been taught and that is like in the water of evangelical culture that we are out to save, and that we are out to be the people who are going to offer all the solutions and all the help, as opposed to, like you said, just said, resetting our posture to one of humility, and that we get to ask. We're not coming in. We're not swooping in to be like, yes, how can I help you? It's like, do you have this? I locked myself out of my house. Can I use your phone? Anything, you know, anything at all. It doesn't even matter what it is, anything at all. And it doesn't matter what kind of neighborhood that you live in,
right?
Like, still do this, you know, that you can still put yourself in the position of humility, and that you are asking for help, and that you can seek connection with someone.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad that you told that, because I haven't thought about that story of that kid.
I love that story.
That's a good example. Yeah.
Yeah. We would rather be the ones with butter, like the ones giving the butter. It's the truth. And because that's a fact for most of us, that is our reminder that it's so important for us to step away from this cultural thing that says independence is such a virtue, when interdependence, like leaning on each other, taking turns, celebrating together and suffering together, even in really small ways, is a much safer and beautiful and funny and delicious way to live, you know, like it just is.
Yeah. So I want to ask you one more question, before we go. And that is, we kind of reframe things a lot around here. Because I think a lot of like cultural definitions, need some rework, need to be reworked a little bit. And I know that you feel that way about the word hospitality. And so I think that's a really lovely place to sort of like put an end here, is like, how would you define or want to reframe hospitality? How would you reframe hospitality?
It needs a PR manager badly. It's such a terrible word. It's so fancy. And, you know, I grew up in evangelicalism too. Like, it's so like, it's so Christian-y in a way that's unhelpful. I haven't found a really suitable, like, one word replacement. But I would say a working definition is asking for what we need and offering what we can. And so it puts us on both sides of that equation, which is really important. If we are only helping, if we are only giving, we are like, there have been times in my life that I have postured myself that way in the beginning, especially of this journey. If I'm the one always giving, I'm basically a very poorly run nonprofit, very disorganized and shoddy. And that doesn't lend itself to living as neighbors. You know, we've got to be on both sides of that. So yeah, that's where I would land.
That was so much better than any answer I could have hoped for. And I knew it would be good. Oh man. Asking for what we need and offering what we have, or offering what we can. Yep. Oh, that's just so good. It's so good. Okay. I really, really cannot tell you guys enough how good this book is. I mean, Shannon is just a beautiful, Emily calls you a sidewalk poet.
And I love that. Just makes me
so happy. It's like the perfect description. But you guys, Shannon is it's kind of annoying how good of a writer she is. And so it is just a beautiful experience to read her books. But there is also like this rootedness to your stories. There's a practicality to kind of the takeaways from them. And I think that this book embodies that just tremendously. I mean, when I say it's like the book we've been waiting for, it really is. Like, I know that this is a community that you'll read this book and you're like, thank you. Because it meets the needs that we have for being neighbors, being neighborly, and also, like you said, being on both sides of that coin.
Yeah.
And there are practical, small ways for this, as you call it, this long haul work. And so I can't wait for you guys to read it. So please, please go and get Start With Hello by Shannon Martin, Shannon with two A's. There's no O in her name.
That's right.
So as we go, I just want to ask you, what is something, you know, when we are lazy geniuses, or geniuses about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. And I just want to know, what are you lazy about and what are you a genius about?
Okay. This is so easy for me. I am a lazy housekeeper.
Love it.
I mean, I'm just putting it out there, and I've become lazier over time, and my place has kind of taught me the virtue even and letting some of that go. I mean, there are people that are great at it that love cleaning. My mother-in-law loves to clean. I mean, I just don't. I like clear surfaces. I don't like a lot of clutter and piles, but I mean, should I mop my floor? Probably. I should probably do that today, but I'm definitely not going to. Okay. And the thing that I'm a genius about is food.
Yeah, you are.
I have fallen into the rhythm of making it my purpose, my mission. I don't know, but I care a lot about it. I obsess about it. I think a lot about it. Part of being a genius about food for me, and I write about this in Start With Hello, means learning to keep things really simple when it comes to like eating with other people and having people in my home to eat. But it also means that if I ever go on a trip with you, I will care so deeply about where we eat each and every meal while we are gone. I will gladly take on, I'm terrible at planning. I don't like to plan. I'm not good at that, but I will plan every meal, every restaurant. So yeah, I'm not necessarily talking even about cooking, but I really care a lot about food and what I eat. It's really fun.
I wondered if you would even specifically say pickles, that you would be a genius about pickles. If those of you who might have seen, so Bree McCoy and I do like a series every once in a while, Instagram called Bree and Kendra Eat Stuff. And we did one kind of episode on pickles, and we taste tested a lot of pickles. And I was like, oh, that's a bad pickle. And Shannon, like all caps in the comments, there's no such thing as a bad pickle. Like it was the energy. The energy was the delight of my life.
So offended, Kendra. Hey, have you made the Shannon Martin pickles?
No, oh my gosh. I know, which I feel like I've seen them circulating recently a good bit on Instagram. Yeah. And it's like, why have I not made
this? Is the time.
Part of it is, okay, I'm writing this down. That's another thing that we're going to do is we're going to plan like a FaceTime coffee sometime really soon. And then I'm going to make Shannon's pickles. One of the things that I am lazy about, like I too am a genius about food. I'm a genius about flavor. Like I really care about the food that I eat tastes good. Like I don't want to eat anything that does not taste good. Like if we're going to have hot dogs, I'm going to like turn on the grill and I'm going to grill them. And then I'm going to toast my bun and butter in a skillet. Like I'm not going to microwave it. Like if we're going to do it, I want it to taste the best that it can taste. But one of the things that I'm lazy about right now is adding new things to our food.
Yeah.
It's pretty like set it and forget it in many ways. And so adding something new to the rotation, like making Shannon's pickles, is not an easy thing because like we order the same stuff from the grocery store. We pretty much eat the same things. And so that's something I miss. I really miss that, is having like newer things in my life. And so maybe I'll start small with adding something new.
This is such a good gateway for you to practice that, because there's no cooking involved. There's no canner, pressure cooker, whatever. I mean, it's so, so simple. And right now, at least where I am, like cucumbers are still abundant.
Yes.
Like now is a good time of year to try it. And you just dump stuff in a jar and shake it up and stick it in the fridge. And they're the best pickles I've ever had.
I can't wait.
I humbly say,
I love it so much. I will have to, I'm going to make a note for myself right now to, put a link to your, pickle recipe in the,
You can, there's a really, my watercolor artist friend created a really beautiful little recipe that folks can download from my website.
Oh, that's
if they
so
want it.
Fun.
It's like a free little thing that's so beautiful.
I love that is like a lead magnet you have. It's like a beautifully designed pickle recipe.
It's like evergreen. It will live there forever if I have any say over it.
Most like iconic Shannon Martin thing ever. Oh, I'm just obsessed. I didn't know that. That's so great. Okay. Well, I'm just thank you for being on the podcast. And I'm just thrilled that you're, can I tell people that I'm your Erin?
Yes.
Because a lot of you guys know, like when, one of the one of the, like, the wise words of doing work on the internet or being a writer or whatever is that you are writing to one person. You are making things for one person. Cause if you try to make it for everybody, you don't make anything for anybody. Like it becomes too general. And so, and weirdly, the more specific you get, the more like universally helpful things are. Yeah. And so my person that I create things for, like, pretty much exclusively is Erin Moon, who a lot of you know, if you listen to her. The podcast or the Bible Bench, we do, we love Erin so much. And you recently told me that I am your Erin.
Yeah.
Which is like, I was like, that's the best thing ever, which is why everything you write, I'm like, give it to me immediately. Like, it's just so good. It's so,
it was so helpful to have Kendra in my heart and my brain as I wrote. So thank you for being my Erin.
So if you are like, if you identify with me in any way, I'm just telling you right now, you need to go and get this book like immediately, because it is going to meet you in a way that you knew you wanted to be met, but with in a way that you didn't expect to be possible. It's just such a, it's just an absolute little golden nugget of a book. I just love it so much. I can't wait for people to have it.
I love Shannon so much. I can't handle it. I cannot handle how she is such a necessary, kind, practical voice for what it is to be the neighbor. Also, she was not lying about those pickles. I've made them twice since this interview. Twice is actually not enough times. It should have been five or six, but like, I didn't have dill. I'm telling you guys, they're the best pickles ever. This book, Start With Hello, releases October 11th, and I cannot recommend it enough. I cannot recommend it enough. This is the book that we need to step forward one small step at a time in being neighbors. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and until next time, be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. I'm Kendra. I'll see you next week.
You might not think that a few simple words could make you crave McDonald's breakfast sandwiches. But if you listen closely to the sound of me saying McGriddles, McMuffin, you might be wrong. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.